You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by ProntPops.wordpress.com and KDUXWebRadio.wordpress.com. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. Welcome to the Pronk Pop Show. This is the Tuesday edition. I wanted today to get a, let's say, take the pulse of a race where the candidate is clearly not in the mainstream. In other words, it's, but they won the primary, and that's important. So I was curious about the race in Florida for governor and who was running, and I know next to nothing about the candidates. I'm not, although my brother lives in Florida, my parents used to live in Florida when they were alive. I visited there several times. I'm not a real fan of Florida. I remember having a call fairly recently and made it very, very clear I have really no interest in moving to Florida. But that's me. And other people, I'm sure, live in Florida that don't want to move away from Florida. But I'm not aware of the issues at all in Florida. So I needed to find out quickly, and this can be done, folks. Well, who's this Democratic candidate for running for governor of Florida? Now, I knew who the Republican, and I'm not going to talk about the Republican, because I'm not a Democrat or Republican. But the question I had is, can a progressive win in a statewide race? Now, I have no doubts you can win in a local race, such a town or a city. And that's not. And this gentleman used to be a mayor of Tallahassee. So he had ran for public office and got elected in Tallahassee. So I wanted to see how quickly I could find out, well, could I vote for this person? Now, keep in mind, I'm not a Democrat, I'm not a Republican, but what am I for? I'm for limited government. I'm not a fan of bigger and bigger government, and that's why I'm not a Democrat or Republican, because both political parties today are expanding the size of the federal government. Now, they spend their money or your money on things that they think are important, but neither party is making any attempt to balance the budget. They don't even mention that anymore. At one time, they make it a big deal, and in 10 years, we will balance the budget. Now, what you got to keep in mind, this gentleman is running for governor. He's not running for president. He's not running for senator. He's running for governor. And who is really behind them? Activist progressives. They have a love affair. They think this is the next Obama. Now, I listen to him speak, and I'll be honest, he seems like a nice guy. But I don't think he was, how should I say this? I didn't think he was razor sharp. I think he's reached his level of incompetence. I just simply wasn't that impressed with him. Now, I could see why progressives would be impressed with him. He's a family man, has three young children. He's presentable. He wears, you know, a nice suit, a nice tie. Nothing wrong with that. But then when you check out what he's for, oh, yes, he is a progressive, liberal, socialist Democrat. It's Andrew Gillum. And I think this is going to be a very, very, very good test as to whether the Democratic Party can continue to go further and further left to the point where they're losing not only their own base, they're losing in state after state in office, whatever offices they're running for, whether it's a local, the state house, or the Senate, the equivalent on a state level, or the governor. You see, the big difference, the state versus the federal government, unlike the federal government, you can't just charge it to everybody. What I mean by that, what's really out of control today is government spending, particularly at the federal level. And there will be a day of reckoning, and I'm going to get on that a little bit more. So he is for a $15 minimum wage. Isn't he nice spending other people's money? Now, I always have to remind people that only a small percentage of people working today earn the minimum wage. Most earn significantly more. I'm not for minimum wage laws. You should compete in the marketplace and get as much money as you can from whoever hires you. Don't zero in on, well, we got to give them at least $7.65 or $8. Now, what happens is, and states have tried it, or cities have tried it, passed a local minimum wage law, and what happens? Now, the people making considerably more than the minimum wage, they don't lose their jobs. But what it leads to is people being fired, because it's usually small and medium-sized companies that are growing but are still in the early stages of trying to succeed that get hit with this, and most of them have to fire people and make do with the few that remain. Yeah, they'll get $15, but they're not going to see a raise anytime soon, and they're going to be worked and worked and worked. And maybe if everyone works hard, they can continue in that employment. It's not the role of government at any level to tell business enterprises what they should charge for prices and how much they should pay their employees. That is between the employer and the employee. And if you're good, and you know if you're good or not, reliable, responsible, do a good job, invariably you're not earning the minimum wage for very long. Because most employers want to keep good employees. And they do that by giving them higher and higher wages, higher and higher benefits. That's the way it works. So the first thing I noticed, he is wanting to nearly double the minimum wage in Florida. That's not sitting too well, obviously, with business owners. He wants to increase taxes. Now, most small businesses don't pay corporate taxes. And he tries to emphasize that there won't be increased taxes for most of the small businessmen. But the thing that really, and this is something I didn't have time to really get into, he's one of these advocates for Medicare for all. Well, just knowing that he's for the minimum wage and he's for Medicare for all tells me I could never vote for him. And if Floridians are paying attention, they shouldn't vote for him. They will ruin a good thing. He's a tax and spender, and that's what he wants to do. Will he win? For Florida's sake and for the people living there, I hope he doesn't. I think he would be an absolute disaster for the state of Florida. But I remember and still remember the warm feelings, the warm fuzzy feelings for Barack Obama. Well, what happened in 8 years? Oh, the economy grew, and I don't blame him for the recession, but his economic policies and higher taxes did what? The economy grew a little over 2%, where historically the average is over 3%. And that's for 8 years. So once the 8 years has passed, you've lost. It's compounded. That's what you need to understand. The United States does not have a standard of living. It could have had a much higher standard of living if it just grew at the average 3%. Well, Trump has shown that you can grow the economy at a higher rate. And by the end of this month, next week, we will know for the third quarter what the U.S. economy grew at. Now, supposedly the number should come in somewhere between 4 and 5%. I'm not making any projection here. But if it does come in that range, that would be the second month in a row. And that's more or less twice what it was under Obama. Oh, yeah, there were one or two good quarters, but the key is consistency month after month after month. And where you're consistently not at 3, 4%, you're losing ground. The economy is still growing, though, and that's the important point. Ideally, you want to avoid recessions and have a long economic recovery and an expansionary period at the highest rates you can obtain. But that means having the right economic policies. And if you don't have the right economic policies, you're going to pay a price. So will this gentleman win? I don't know. I want to say I don't really care because I don't vote Democrat anymore, and I certainly don't vote Republican anymore, because both parties are big government parties that cannot balance a budget. On a state level, they have to balance. They can't just keep borrowing and borrowing and borrowing. Federal level, they can, and they are doing that. So I don't want anything to do with the Democratic Party or the Republican Party. And if we have gridlock, we have gridlock. Now, I still maintain that we are going to see a red wave, not a blue wave. That is a minority opinion. Do I think that the Republicans will pick up seats in the House? No. I really do think the Democrats will gain a few seats, but I don't think they're going to take over the House. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But why do I say that? If you ever play poker, you can overplay your hand. In other words, you have a what you think is a terrific hand, can't lose, and then you find out, well, someone has a better hand than yours. What you don't want to do, and the Democratic Party is doing this, and I'm just shaking my head, what is their agenda? They're running against Trump. That's clear. Everyone's got that message from big lie media, the television networks, and the newspapers. They're running against Trump. So Trump's not on the ballot. Keep that in mind. Oh, yes, President Trump is having his rallies. He hasn't lost his supporters. I'm not one of them, but I'm not an ever-Trumper. I just won't vote anymore for Democrats or Republicans because of the simple reason they both are massively increasing the national debt as well as unfunded liabilities, obligations. There's no financial responsibility. And you literally cannot keep doing this. I know a lot of people think you can, but talk to Greece and talk to countries that had to repudiate their debt. Doesn't mean it's going to happen to the United States tomorrow. No, I think we have maybe 10 years, no more than 20 or 22. And there are things we can do to correct the situation, but I don't see a political party that's going to do it. The Democrats aren't going to do it. They want to increase taxes and increase spending. That's not the answer. And what do the Republicans want to do? They want to increase spending and decrease taxes. What they're doing is increasing the debt even more. So neither party has economic policies that the word is sustainable. We're living way beyond the means of the American people. And if you elect candidates, and the American people have, Donald Trump is a good example of it, that really are not that concerned with the national debt, not at all. Because we paid for the tax cut by borrowing the money. And that's what's happening. The bet is that if we do that, we'll have higher economic growth rates, at least 3, but optimistically 4 or 5. And a growing economy does mean, guess what? The government gets more tax revenues. But there's no focusing in on and no sense of urgency of cutting spending. You can't keep doing this. Because what's happening right now, and it will continue to happen, although Trump is complaining about it, interest rates are going to gradually go up. As inflation comes back into the United States, we already have it. It's not out of control yet, but I lived through the 70s into the 80s. And as inflation comes back, what will the Federal Reserve do? They will tighten the monetary policy. They will increase the interest rates, the federal funds rates. And that means the cost of the government of financing is going to go up significantly. Remember, it was deliberately manipulated, kept low, near zero, 0 to 25 basis points. Usually it's right in the middle. It's very close to zero, it was. And they started that in 2008 and continued it through 2015. Now what's going to happen is as inflation comes roaring back, and it will be roaring back, it'll take some time. The responsible thing would be to get back to a more, quote, normal monetary policy, which means higher rates. And what does that mean? Well, if you're borrowing, want to buy a new house and need to take out a mortgage, it's going to cost you more money. It's going to go up, up, and up. It'll go above 5% or higher. That's only a matter of time, and that's going to potentially could lead to a recession. We'll see. So I'm very interested. I know all the politicians are interested as to what the third quarter real gross domestic product, GDP, is going to be. But don't celebrate, even if it, let's say it is between 4 and 5%, and that's back-to-back quarters of 4% or over. That's good news, but can we continue this growing, expanding economy, growing at that rate into next year, and for how long? You're going to have some momentum due to the tax cut for at least, I would say, a year. The problem with the tax cut, why it should and did cut corporate taxes, it really didn't give enough of a cut to individuals. But the bigger problem, more fundamental problem, is it left in place the income tax system. And I always emphasize this. In terms of number of American people that are paying taxes, the biggest tax that they are paying is so-called payroll taxes. In other words, for Social Security, Medicare, disability. That's the biggest tax. If you're working, you gotta pay it. And that makes it very difficult for many Americans to really get ahead, because the money that they might have been able to save, if not, they definitely could spend it, but save it for their retirement on their own, they can't. Because after Social Security is taken out of their check as well as the employer's check, they simply don't have enough extra money to pay the bills, which makes it difficult for them to take vacations, send their children to college, and save for their retirement. What we need is a vigorously growing economy where the government is not screwing it up, intervening in the economy by raising taxes. But where's the problem? It's spending, spending, spending is the problem. We're spending way too much money. And there's no leadership. There's no leadership in either political party. Because if we had leadership, you don't have to be a genius to figure this out. You know, last year, I mentioned this last show, we spent in excess of what we collected in taxes of $779 billion. That's a lot of money, folks. A balanced budget means it's zero. So we're way, way beyond even approaching a balanced budget. And this is a Republican administration where the House and the Senate and the presidency is controlled by the Republican Party. It'd only be worse if it were the Democrats. So what's the difference between the two parties? I can't see that much difference. I know there's some. So this is going to be a very interesting test case, whether this gentleman is going to win. If he does, my suggestion is sell your house in Florida and move someplace else. You might consider Texas, but not necessarily, because it's only a matter of time, unless it's corrected rather quickly, before Florida becomes California. And you wouldn't want to wish that on anybody. So I don't have to go vote. I'm not planning to vote this November at all. There's no point to it. And if more I think about it, the key thing to be sensitive to, people need a paycheck. They need to work. That's most people. Not all people, but most people. And if they get fired, they quickly have to find a job. That's just the way it is. And if we go in another recession, it's going to be difficult, again, to find a job. Right now, the economy, I won't say booming. That's I think, exaggerating the situation. We've had a long run of positive economic growth, but not consistent growth, at least equal to the average increase of between 3 and 3.5%. What we need are many, many years in a row of growing at 4, 5, or 6%. Will we get there? I don't think so. Because we have, unfortunately, a number of politicians that are very good at spending your money. See, I'm for letting the American people keep as much of their money as possible. You're always going to need some taxes to pay the bills. But we're way beyond the point. Better way to measure it is, if we had responsible government, we don't have responsible government, but let's assume we did. We shouldn't have, year in, year out, as far as the eye can see, deficits where we spend more money than we collect in tax revenue. And why it has gone up and down, the trend is upwards, higher and higher and higher. We're living way beyond the means of the American people to support this. And neither political party is doing anything about it. And that's very dangerous. Very dangerous. I'm more or less saying we might have 8 years before it really hits the fan. 6 to 8 years. About 2026. And the reason I'm saying that, we're seeing it now. What happened to the deficit last fiscal year? It went up. It went, I think it was 658 or 60 billion 2 years ago. Now it's 779. Next year it's predicted to be 1,000 billion. You can't continue doing this. Now, the moment I say that, well, we've been doing it. We've been successful at it. Yeah, but there is a day of reckoning. You got to look beyond a year or 4 years or 8 years. Where are we generally heading? There is no such thing as fiscal responsibility anymore in Washington, D.C., in terms of the federal government. Bills come due. There is a day of reckoning, and we're accelerating towards that day of reckoning. And neither political party nor the leadership of the political party is really doing very much about it. The only thing I see them doing is ignoring the problem. And I will be amazed, not surprised, but amazed, if this gentleman gets elected governor of Florida. And I don't believe polls anymore. The only poll I believe is the final election results. And usually you know that the night of the election. Sometimes you don't. If Florida elects this Democrat, they're going to be in trouble. He's a big spender, and he'll spend too much money. And what are two things? I'll give you the easy tip-off and then the major tip-off that this gentleman would be a disaster for Florida. One is he wants to almost double the minimum wage. Now, I'm totally against minimum wages. The one thing you need to understand, though, that only a small percentage of the people that are working earn the minimum wage. And the people that are earning that minimum wage are usually those that are just starting out, have very little, if any, job experience. Now, wants to more or less double it to $15. Isn't he really nice? But what does that mean for employers that can't pay it? Means many, not all, but many of those employees of that employer are going to be out of work. And the business might have to close down. They don't care. They're just trying to say, I'm generous. I think it should be $15. Well, who cares what you think, sir? Because in the United States, it's what someone is willing to pay you is what you're worth. Many people are worth many multiples of the minimum wage. Keep that in mind. If you're really good, really talented, you're not earning the minimum wage. Nowhere close to it. It's usually new entrants to the workforce that have very little experience, very, very few skills. And it's usually young people, but not necessarily, that are starting out. And they need to become disciplined. You know, come in at on time. You have to be reliable. You got to work hard. And if you do, you are quickly perceived to be a valuable employee, and usually what most employers will do, they will increase your wage. That's the way the marketplace works. Because only a small percentage of the labor force actually gets paid the minimum wage. Because most employers, once they know that they have a good employee, want to keep them. After quickly saying that, if you more than double that minimum wage, what's going to happen? Many people are going to be fired. See, I'm for the markets to work and the markets to clear. And you should get as much money as you can possibly get paid. And if you're a good worker, have good skills, you're reliable, inevitably it comes. I'm not saying always. But the state, the government, should not be regulating what the minimum wage should be. We should abolish the minimum wage, not double it. Abolish it. Keep in mind, most people that are working today get considerably more money than the minimum wage. Now, the second thing this candidate for governor wants is Medicaid for all. That will bust. That will bust the federal government. That's not the way to go. You want competition in the marketplace. So I hope this gentleman doesn't win, because if he does, I think he's going to be very harmful to the economy of Florida. And he won't last very long. And he'll be trying to increase taxes, and that won't go down very well. So why the progressives in the Democratic Party might think they have a new star and maybe future president, I'm simply not impressed. If anything, I think he could be a disaster for the state of Florida. But supposedly, if you believe the polls, I don't believe the polls, they are manipulated, that he's ahead, or at least that's what they want to make you believe. So we'll see. We have less than 2 weeks, and we'll find out whether or not we have another star, a blazing star, a shooting star. Now, what you need to understand, though, to pass laws in states, you can be the governor, but it's who controls the state legislature. It's not just who is the governor. I don't think this gentleman's going to win. I could be wrong, though. I could be wrong. What happens if he does win? I think Florida might be in some trouble because he's more a tax and spender, if he's anything. Tax, spend, borrow. But so are the Republicans. Maybe not as much, but that's why I don't vote Democrat or Republican anymore. What's the point? It doesn't matter whether it's a Democrat or a Republican in the White House. Debt keeps going up, up, and up. And that does not include so-called unfunded obligations or liabilities. We don't have the money to pay for obligations like pensions. So we're going to be and are headed for very, very interesting times. And neither political party is showing courage or financial responsibility. They think they can kick it down the road, kick the can down the road. Well, you can for, and it's clearly true, do that for many, many decades. But eventually, the debt you incur and the obligations you incur are so huge, you no longer can do that. And the people that lend you the money are going to insist on and get much higher interest rates, which only makes it worse. So I don't know who's going to win, whether it's Andrew Gillum or Ron DeSantis. He was a congressman. He's running for now governor. They had a debate a few days ago. I don't know what the people are going to do in Florida. That's their decision to make. I know I'm not going to be moving there. And if you believe the current polls, this gentleman might win. Well, if he wins, I think there's going to be a certain amount of flight out of Florida. I think he would be a disaster. He's very easy spending other people's money. You see, they dress well, speak well, but their policies are disasters. I'm being critical of them on policy. And it's going to be close. Florida is very much split. I'm not saying right down the middle, but it is very much fairly close, Democrat versus Republican. And what's important is who turns out. Turnout, in any election, turnout is absolutely essential. Now, the only thing I think the Republicans have going for them is I think they're going to have a higher turnout. And if they do, then Ron DeSantis will be the next governor. And I don't think this Gillum is going to, I think he'll be around, but where he goes from here, I don't know. He's a young guy, so he will be around for many years and probably run for public office. Sometimes they just cash in, but we'll see. Now, I have videos on him. You can get a feel for him. Very presentable, very, let's say, well-spoken. But I just don't see him as governor. So we'll see. We'll know in 2 weeks, probably late in the afternoon or evening before we'll know. And I think it could go either way. However, I do think DeSantis is going to win. But I leave that up to the people of Florida. Because if they make a mistake here, it's going to hurt them. Now, they can always turn them out the next election, but in 4 years. But a lot of damage can be done. So it's important you know the issues. What I recommend is you understand their political philosophy. And this guy is for big government. He's a big government progressive. I mean, I didn't know anything about him. And within a minute, I said, this guy would be a disaster for Florida. And I think he would. I think he's on beyond his depth. And I think he sort of reminds me of Barack Obama. Do you want another Barack Obama as governor of Florida? Now, I'm sure Barack Obama thinks he's smarter because he went to Harvard Law School. I'm not that impressed. They never released his grades. And there was a debate, and you can listen to the debate and make up your mind. And he won. You got to give him credit. There were four Democrats running, and this gentleman won. And it surprised a lot of people. I wasn't paying that much attention. Even though my brother lives in Florida, I simply don't follow Florida politics. So we'll see. We don't have to wait but 2 weeks, and we'll know the results. And should this gentleman get elected, I think Florida has, let us say, some problems that are going to confront them. Now, remember, he's a governor. That doesn't mean he can dictate laws. So it really depends on both the Democrat and the Republican Party and the legislature. And I, like most people, don't follow other states. I'm lucky if I follow my own state. And given the fact that my only choice is either Democrat or Republican, I no longer vote. What's the point? The only way I would ever vote is if someone is a total, complete disaster and looks like he was going to win, then I don't believe in suicide PACs. So we'll see. Now, I want to cover a related story. We've been hearing a lot of blue wave, red wave, blue wave, red wave. Who's going to win? Well, if the Democrats are the blue wave and the Republicans are the red wave, I'm predicting a red wave. I think the Republicans will definitely maintain control of the Senate, most likely have 55 to 56 senators. And the House, I think the Republicans will lose some seats. Now, that should not surprise you, but I think they will keep control of the House. I think it'll be very close, though. It could go either way. And we'll learn the results about 2 weeks from now. Actually, it'll be late because there are some states that will be close. But I do not believe that there will be a Democratic blue wave. I think the Republicans will hold on of control of the House of Representatives. Not by a big margin, but enough to have control. Does that make me happy? Not necessarily, for the simple reason you got to look underneath the numbers. And if you look as to the political philosophy and whether they're big government, and they are, the majority of the people in Congress today, in the House, the Senate, whether in the Democratic Party or the Republican Party, are big government. That's the bird, the big government bird. They have the left wing, that's the Democratic Party, and the right wing, which is the Republican Party. But I'm fairly confident that the Republicans will maintain control of the Senate and the House narrowly. That's not where the smart money is now. Although what's going to happen is, as we approach Election Day, November 6th, it's going to get closer and closer and closer. I don't think it's ever going to be, well, it looks like the Republicans are going to pick up any seats. I don't think that's going to happen. I think the Republicans will lose some of their seats, some of their margin, if you will. But I think generally they're going to keep control of the House and the Senate and the presidency. And the reason is, I think arrogance on the part of the Democrats. I don't think they can be objective. They have a very bad case of Trump derangement syndrome. See, no one owes you a job. No one owes you an office. You got to earn it. And there's just that sense of entitlement. And you see it in both political parties, entitled to get reelected and reelected. The people owe us. They should vote for us. Well, surprise, surprise, things happen. See, I was one of the few, there were other people, but one of the few that thought Donald Trump could and most likely would win. What trips up a lot of Democrats is their arrogance when it's a very close political race. And the people pick up on it, sense it. No one likes to be taken for granted. And I think that's what happened to the Democratic Party in 2016. And it was a close presidential race. But you have to remember, when people are running for president, what counts is not the number of votes that they get, the so-called popular vote, but the Electoral College vote. So you have to run a national campaign, and you got to focus in on the states. And it is winner-take-all. So I don't think that the Democrats are going to gain control of the Senate for sure, and for that matter, not the House. Could I be wrong? You better believe I could be wrong. We're a little less than two weeks away. Of course I can be wrong, but I don't think so. And part of the reason is, I was discussing this with someone, is the Kavanaugh confirmation hearings. I don't think the American people, Democrats, Republicans, and independents, like how that was handled by the Democratic Party in the Senate. Remember, he had completed the hearing. They were done. They were in the process of scheduling the vote. And then we had, out of left field, and this was deliberate. This was planned. Oh, he touched me. There was no evidence supporting that lady. She accused him of something that there was no evidence supporting it. It's characterized as he said, she said, and that's exactly what it was. And what strains credibility is you had no supporting evidence. See, someone can accuse anyone of anything. That doesn't mean it has any credibility at all. And this happened over 35 years ago. Oh, I thought that the judge probably, when he was young, drank too much beer. But if everyone that had drank too much beer, and I include myself in that, couldn't be a judge or be hired, I don't think we'd have that many sober people, though. I think these midterm elections are going to be very, very close. And I think you're not going to see a blue wave, and you're certainly not going to see a red wave. I think the Republicans will pick up a few Senate seats, and in the House, the Democrats will pick up more than a few seats, but maybe a dozen. And if that's the case, then the House of Representatives will be, again, controlled by the Republicans. And they'll scream and holler and tear their hair out, but that's the name of the game. And even, let's take, I won't say the worst case, but let's say, for the sake of argument, that the Democrats win enough seats to have control of the House of Representatives. They get 218. Let's even give them two more. Let's say they get 220. Well, why the Democratic Party tends to vote en bloc, I think the Democratic Party is divided. I certainly know there are probably six or more Democrats that are going to run for president. So there's a lot of jockeying for position. They're looking to the 2020 election to hopefully regain the presidency and control the Senate and the House. But you got to earn the voters' trust. And I always get back to that issue. Trust is absolutely essential. And where people lose confidence in their elected representatives or a party, it's very difficult, and I would more or less say impossible, to get that back. And that's why today, somewhere between 40% and 50% of the electorate out there are not really Democrats or Republicans. That's the largest number of voters really are not affiliated with either the Democratic Party or the Republican Party. So, no, I don't think there's going to be a blue wave. Nor do I think there's going to be a red wave, but enough, I wouldn't call it a wave. I think they will keep enough House of Representatives to maintain control. That means they have 218 or more. Now, that's not the conventional wisdom. The conventional wisdom, if you believe the pollsters and the big lie media, the Democrats are definitely going to win the House and most likely will win the Senate. Well, I don't think that's going to happen. Yeah, they might squeak out a win, but then you're going to have gridlock. Democrats have 218 and the Republicans have 217. That's going to be rather interesting, and see what gets passed out of Congress. And even if it's passed out of Congress, Trump could veto it and should veto it. So in 2 weeks, we'll know. But if you're anticipating a big, giant blue wave, in other words, the Democrats win the House and the Senate, it's not going to happen. They'll be lucky if they squeak out a win in terms of the House of Representatives. Now that, ladies and gentlemen, is less than 2 weeks. And as any politician would tell you, 2 weeks is a long time. A lot of things can happen in 2 weeks, but a lot of things might not happen. The smart money is the Democrats are going to win the House, not the Senate. That's the smart money. But if it gets real close, and I think it is, you can toss a coin and decide who it's going to be. I think it's going to be that close. It's not going to be a decisive win by either the Democrats or the Republicans. But one party, for sure, is going to have more votes, and I think they're upwards of maybe a dozen. Either way, that's the swing we're talking about. And you really won't know until November 7th what the results are. There'll be a lot of very close elections. I will not be voting. I'm exercising my right not to vote. I'm registered. I could vote. And I could change my mind at the very last minute, but I don't see myself doing that. So what we're going to have is what I call make no wave election. Everyone is saying there's a red wave or a blue wave. Well, I've sort of changed my mind. I think there will be a no wave election. I don't see a blowout. I think the Republican Party will be lucky to maintain their majority, just maintain their majority in the House of Representatives, and probably win 55 Senate seats. Could be a little less, could be a little bit more. But they're going to definitely control the Senate and most likely, but narrowly, control the House. And even if that's not the case, President Trump can veto any bill he wants. So we're back to gridlock. And that raises an issue, looking at the time. What about immigration? What about the wall? See, Donald Trump would like to be reelected again. I think that's a safe bet that he wants to be nominated and elected for a second term. Now, in my mind, the only way that can happen is he has to build at least 1,000 miles or more of that wall. He needs to have a movie, a video showing mile after mile after mile of a wall, what I prefer to call a big, beautiful barrier that makes it almost impossible for people to break in the country, because his voter base is expecting that. Now, he'll try to blame it on the Democrats. That's a given. And probably also blame it on the Republicans, because his worst enemy is many of these Republicans don't want a wall. They certainly don't even want a complete fence, the 2,000 miles, the 1,954 miles. They built less than 100 miles of new wall. Who knows the exact number? They don't have the money. And Congress, that's the House and the Senate, has to pass an appropriation bill, and it needs to get all of it. I mean, $25 billion, and build it in the next year or two. Ideally, do it in 1 year. Get it built and done. But if the Republicans lose the House, or even if they maintain the House and Trump can't twist enough arms to get the entire $25 billion, he'll try to finesse it and say, well, you know, they only gave me $5 billion and we're going to build, you know, 500 miles. Well, that's not a big, beautiful wall that's going to stop the invasion of this country, this continuous year in, year out, day in, day out, people breaking into our country across the not only the United States-Mexican border, but also people coming here perfectly legally with valid visas, either going to school or coming here for being a tourist or on business, and decide they like it here. That happens every day. Because at least 40%, and probably more, are not coming over the United States-Mexican border. All the attention is on it. But many that don't come across the U.S.-Mexican border are coming here legally, not illegally, legally, on a valid visa and a passport. But what happens? They like it here, and they stay here. They don't go home. They're in the shadows. Well, they're not really in the shadows. They just decided, I'd rather stay here. And when you understand that many of these people come from nations, countries that are hellholes. You don't want to go back. So many people come here for an education and decide, I need to, any way I can, I want to stay in this country. I don't blame them, but you got to understand there's at least 30 million to 60 million illegal aliens living and working in the country. And most of them are not going to go home unless the law of the United States, the U.S. Code, is enforced. And because we have so many that are here, it would take at least 10 years. And that's assuming that we would deport and remove from this country 3 million a year. We're not even close to that. So Donald Trump, the first step, and President Trump understands this, you have to build that big, beautiful barrier, or he prefers the wall. And then you got to remove from this country the people that are already here. I'm not optimistic, folks, because neither the Democratic Party nor the Republican Party wants to do that. That's the truth. And it gets back to the fact that until we have a viable, successful third party that truly can challenge both the Democratic and the Republican Party. It's not that there are not people that would not vote for a party. You got to organize it. We're talking a lot of money, a lot of time, a lot of people to start a brand new political party to challenge both the Democratic Party and the Republican Party. Do I think it can be done? You better believe I believe. I believe it can be done, but it's not going to happen in one election. It's going to take many years to do it, but I think and hope that quickly it will catch on. And then one of the parties, and I think it'll be the Democratic Party, will bite the dust, because the American people are tired of politicians, Democrat and Republican, not listening to them. Worse than not listening to them, totally ignoring them. That's a very dangerous situation in any country, when the people that are elected, our representatives, ignore the will of the American people. And that's what's been happening for over 18 years, actually longer than that. The American people want legal immigration. as long as it's limited. They do not want really any illegal immigration. And that is the problem, because this problem has been festering and festering and festering. And you have one political party, the Democratic Party, that wants to do what? They want to grant citizenship to all the illegal aliens that are here. And I would say upwards of 80% of the American people, American citizens, don't want it. So you have both political parties, the political class, in direct opposition to the majority of the American people. And I include Republicans, Democrats, and Independents. That's a dangerous situation, but it is an opportunity. It's an opportunity for the formation of a new political party, and that's what I think will happen. It will happen when more than 50% of the voters do not register either as a Republican or a Democrat. They say they're independent. And I think that could happen a lot quicker than many people are anticipating. You reach a tipping point. That's the way to look at it. And I think it's around a little over 50%. When the number of independent voters is more than 50%, then and only then, in my mind, will you really see a push for a new, viable, successful political party? Because the American people, American citizens, don't like to be ignored. They don't like to be ignored. And they don't like to be played for fools, suckers. And if there's one thing that's very clear, and you can make up your own mind, but you'll reach the same conclusion. The American people believe in immigration, provided it's legal. They are adamantly opposed. They are opposed against people breaking the country. They want all the illegal aliens that are here to be deported. And the political party that makes that case and does it, delivers on it, will win. Donald Trump is just the first, I think, of several examples. And if Donald Trump doesn't deliver on his promises, they'll find another candidate. And I don't really think he's going to get a second chance unless he builds most of that wall. I didn't say all 2,000 miles, but definitely over 1,000 miles. The American people are expecting his supporters. Remember, I'm not a supporter of Donald Trump or the Republican Party or the Democratic Party. I've given up on both of these parties. This is not limited government. It doesn't reflect my philosophy of classical liberalism. And I can't, in good conscience, continue voting either Democrat or Republican, because both parties are making it worse. They're followers. They're not leaders. That's the biggest deficit in Washington today. It's full of followers. And they do, most of them are bought and paid for. They do, whoever gives them the most money, campaign contributions, will get what they want. And that's sad to say, but that's just the truth. It doesn't mean that they're not some conscientious people that will vote their conscience. There are, and I will even say in both parties. But they're such a small number that for all practical purposes, they're not a factor. And I don't think they will succeed in trying to get the Republican. I know there's some good people that will run again in 2024, trying to get the Republican Party nomination. I don't think they're going to get it. I think it's going to be very much a status quo type Republican, or call it the Republican establishment candidate. Nothing fundamentally is going to change until we have a viable, successful third party. And not just any party. There are literally, last time I looked, there are about 36 political parties. Most of them get so few votes, they're irrelevant. And that's something I need to emphasize. They're irrelevant. And I'll include the Libertarian Party there. And they're closer to my political philosophy than any party. They have their problems, too. So there's no hope, no change until the American people stand up a third party that can challenge both the Democratic Party and the Republican Party. When will that happen? I don't know. It better happen as soon as possible, though. We're running out of time, because sometime between now and 2040, I say 2040, but I don't think it will be 2040. I think it will be much earlier. And I'm not kidding. I think it could happen as soon as 2026 or 2024, because I see no leadership coming out of either political party that is dealing with the financial situation, the mess that the United States government is in. They're oblivious to it. I'm not saying there are not a few people that know how serious it is, but even if they know how serious this is, they have no way of dealing with it. Because what is required is downsizing of the federal government. The Democratic Party's not proposing that, and neither is the Republican Party. If you doubt me, just look at the numbers. What was the deficit for fiscal year 2018? $779 billion? That's not fiscal responsibility. It's not financial responsibility. That's, I call it SAD, spending addiction order. That's exactly what it is. Both parties have a bad habit. Spending addiction disorder is the bad habit. And they have really don't have a clue as to how to address it. And it's been going on since the end of World War II. Or maybe you could say from the start of World War II on, the United States has spent more and more and more money. There was a period where we were making some progress in paying down the debt, but we've passed that point. We're headed, we're not there yet, we're not Greece yet, but it's only a matter of time, and that's the point I'm trying to make. And there are ways to prolong this, but when you don't have that many years, you should do it as quick as possible. Don't dilly-dally. Don't take half measures. You really need to correct the situation. And what I mean by that, a balanced budget from here on out. Not too long ago, I could say it's going to take at least 4 years to get it balanced. Give them the 4 years to ease their way. It never works. And you can see it. Look at the deficits for the 2 years that President Trump is. Now, am I blaming Trump? No. You elected these people. I'm not going to take any responsibility anymore. I didn't elect them. It's a mess, folks. There's no leader in either party that will, that has the courage, the will, the vision, understands the problem, is going to run for president and do anything about it. You have, in essence, career politicians. President Trump is the exception to the rule, and he does prove the rule. And he is fighting Democrats and Republicans. And he needs the support of the American people, but it's still, you can argue where it's at. It's somewhere between 40 and 50%. It's really closer to 40%. And the time is running out. And I said this right after he was elected. He has very little time to turn this around. And he was trying to go as fast as he could. But the establishment, both in the Democrat and the Republican Party, are going to fight him every inch of the way. Oh, they'll smile and pat him on the back and blah, 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 blah. But they don't want a balanced budget. They think that's terrible. Forget about the Democrats. They're a lost cause. If you vote Democrat, you're guaranteed that this country is more or less over, because we are going to definitely hit a day of reckoning, and sooner rather than later. You need people that can balance the budget, and they're few and far between in Washington. If you don't believe me, just presidential annual report has it, but you can go to the Department of Treasury site and you can see month by month what the deficits are and what the total is for the year. And it keeps getting worse. Oh, yeah, we have some years it's up, some years it's down, but it's generally, what is it doing? It's growing. It's a cancer, and it's killing us, and it's killing the economy, and it's killing this country. And where are the leaders doing anything about it? It's not Donald Trump, ladies and gentlemen. He's not, that's the one thing he's not doing anything about, and that is these massive deficits. He doesn't have a clue what to do. We need a leader with vision, courage, and he has to be able to communicate what the problem is. It's not going to be popular. But if you tell the truth and tell it why it's important to first understand what the problem is, what the scope of the problem is, and what needs to be done about it, if you have a good message, the American people will respond. But if they get a hint that you're not really telling the truth, you're trying to paper over the problem. And that's what the Democrat and Republican parties, that's exactly where they're at today. I can't see any leadership in Congress on this. Most of the ones that maybe could have done it have left. They've gotten out of town. They've figured it out. So it's just a matter of time before this crashes down. And there will be a terrible day of reckoning. And I think probably in the 2020s. I don't think at one time I thought it would happen in the 2030s. But more and more, I don't see. I'm not optimistic. I thought we had a chance when the Tea Party was active, and that maybe that would lead to a new political party. It didn't. Notice that. And that's a big lesson to understand. It's in the interest of both the Democrat and the Republican Party to kill in the cradle any new party. And that's the only thing that's going to save this country. The Democratic Party or the Republican Party are not capable of saving this country. They are not. And the sooner you face up to that, and then you decide what to do. Are you going to try to organize a new political party? Because that's what I'm calling for. And it's not going to happen overnight. It takes a lot of people and a lot of money. Not a tremendous amount, but a lot of money. And the people that have a vested interest in keeping it a two-party system are going to fight you every inch of the way. But the stakes are high, and I think we have 10 years, if we're lucky. Are there things we can do to extend it maybe to 2040? Yes. Are we doing them? No, not at all. Have we closed any federal departments? Have we closed any agencies? Have we drastically cut the budgets of the various departments? The answer to all these questions is no. You know, when you're in an emergency situation where you're in a battle for survival, you need to start cutting departments. You can't afford them anymore. And there are at least 8 departments that we should shut down permanently. But that's actually easier to do than to really cut what needs to be cut is welfare programs and entitlements. These are not easy political questions to deal with. As a matter of fact, most politicians don't want to be near this. They're running away from it. How do I know? Look at all of them that are retiring. The smart ones are retiring. They have figured it out. You don't have to be a genius to figure it out. They figured out, I don't want to be here when it hits the fan. And because then you get into the blame game. It's not going to be pleasant. Well, I'm looking at the time. I'm out of time. Does this election matter? Yes. Am I optimistic that this will fundamentally change anything? No, I'm not. Could be a lot worse if the Democrats win the Senate and the House. But it's not going to be that much better if the Republicans win the Senate and the House. That's why we're in serious trouble. What's going to be the deficit next year? It looks like $1,000 billion. Does that look like we're headed in the right direction? No. No. And is Donald Trump the person that's going to lead us? No. Are you kidding me? Donald Trump was, and I still say is, a liberal Democrat from New York City. That's fundamentally what he's about. He's a little left of center. We need somebody that's a true leader that will tell the American people the sad situation we're in and what needs to be done to get us out of this mess. And I'm not hearing it. I'm hearing crickets. This is a topic that politicians don't want to talk about, even if they're forced to at town hall meetings. This is very serious. And what's frustrating to know is at least half the people, and I think closer to two-thirds, are totally turned off. They're not even paying attention. And that's a dangerous situation because then you can get activists, such as this Florida candidate for governor, sneaking in under the wire. We'll see. Thank you for listening. And now, America the Beautiful.
My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College.
You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by PronkPops.wordpress.com and KDUX Web Radio. WordPress.com.